Turn with me, please, to Psalms 91. I'm going to get us started in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the beauty of your word. I thank you, Lord God, for the strength found in your word. I thank you for the promises in your word. I thank you, Lord, that the more we press into your word, the more we understand you, the more we understand who you are, and the more we understand the presence of you in our lives. I thank you that your word, it teaches us, it trains us, it develops us, it prepares us, it strengthens us. I thank you, Lord, that in times of trouble, we can call upon your word that we've hidden in our hearts. And it comes forth bold. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your word. Be with us tonight. Come and be our teacher. Let your word come forth, Lord God, and go deep within our hearts. Help us, Lord God, to settle things around us. That your word can go deep in the recesses of who we are. And shape us, mold us, ignite us. Thank you, Lord. I thank you. In your precious name, amen. So while I was praying, I had a vision. I had a vision of a heart, and not the cute little, you know, hearts that we see on Valentine's Day and, you know, all over the stores. But I actually saw the heart, the pumping muscle of our heart as God created it. And as I began to pray, the Lord came and he lifted off the top of our heart and he began to deposit within us. He was depositing, and it was this steady flow. And as it flowed down in, and as the heart would beat, it would pump through our bodies. With every beat of our hearts, his word would flow through our bodies. When the Bible tells us to hide God's word in our heart, you know, we remember the little songs that we sang as children. We remember reciting scripture, memorizing it, because we are hiding God's word in our heart. And when we do that, his word will start to flow through our beings. It will bring strength to us. It will bring courage to us. It will bring a force to be reckoned with in the days ahead. It will bring healing to our bodies, healing to our inner man, healing to our minds, healing to our memories, healing and restoration. We are vessels of his kingdom. I think so often as believers, we forget about that. We are vessels of the kingdom of God. We are to be used for his glory, 2 years ago in the summer of 2018, I did probably five or six messages on the manifestation of the sons of God coming forth. And I was so excited when Mom shared that last week about the sons of God coming forth. And I remember that when I spoke on that 2 years ago, when I spoke on the earth is shaking, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. I remember that the Lord kind of put all of this information in my spirit man, and he began to stir it around. And after I was done with that series, and I remember because it was right around the birth of my grandson, the first message came out. It was just about a week to 10 days before his birth. And he put this message inside, and he put this cap on me, and he began to stir it around. And over the course of the last, you know, nearly 2 years now, in June it'll be 2 years, he has continued to bring forth a deeper level of what that means. Mom's been talking about the light. She's been talking about truth. We've been talking about intimacy with God. We've been talking about, last time I talked about praying the preferred will of God, praying the Lord's Prayer. And I have a message on creation that I'm probably going to do next week. But this week, I want to expound on what I shared 2 years ago, and I want to talk about the 91st Psalm. There's a lot of people that are afraid right now. They're afraid because of the virus that is going around, and I am not here to stomp on that fear. I am not here to tell you it is a baseless fear. I'm not here to tell you any of that. Because why? Because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us the spirit of love and of power and a sound mind. I'm here to tell you that the Lord wants to grant you love and power and a sound mind. He wants to cause you to be a stabilizing force in the earth today. He wants to ignite with you, within you, an understanding of his word and compel you to be a stabilizing force in the days ahead. You can go through the book of Revelations and you can read all kinds of things that will scare the bejesus out of you. It will scare you and make you want to just go into your closet and stay there. I mean, I can tell you from experience 30 years ago when I read the book of Revelation. Something happened when I was younger, when I was around 10 or 11, I read the book of Revelations, and I was just go-hung about it. There's some reason, about 10 years after I read it, and I thought, I never want to read this again. This is scary. So maybe in my innocent, childlike mind, I just stepped into faith and rode on the cloud of the Lord when I first read it, but you can read the book of Revelations and see what's going to come in the last days. And you can run and you can hide from it. Or you can determine within your heart. You can determine within your mind to let God do the work in your life that needs to be done, so that you can be among the manifested sons of God. It's coming. Last time I shared a vision about when we prayed in the Lord's Prayer and how it opened up this pathway between us and between heaven. And I had that vision 25 years ago. But 2 weeks ago, the Lord gave me part two of that, and it was the downloading that came from heaven. When his people came into a place of unity with him, there was a downpouring of his glory that flowed out and across the earth, releasing his love over the earth. His love over the earth. And I began to see as people stepped, and I saw as a person took a step, and as they pulled away and lifted their foot, there would be new growth, new life coming forth in the earth. That's the effect a child of God is supposed to have in the earth. The more the Lord teaches me, the more he puts his word in me, the more he opens up my heart and pours the nuggets of his word into my heart and it flows through me, I seek his face. How, Lord, can I leave life, a deposit of life, every place I step? How, in this season of time in which we live, when we have wars and rumors of wars and pestilence, how is it, Lord God, when what we really want to do is hide up in our closets? How can we go forth with the courage that you give us and release life? Life into the earth. How do we do that? How, Lord? There's several ways that we go about doing that. Over the last couple of years, I've talked about the refining, and we let him refine our hearts. And I'm not talking about a small refining. I'm talking about a deep, deep refining that he does in our lives, preparing us to be released. A deep refining. The one that helps to scoop away the things that cause us to be, and I don't mean the small little irritations that we go through. I don't mean the frustration that we feel when we get behind the wheel in 5 o'clock traffic. I mean, we allow him to go deep, deep, deep within us. Through the layers of who we are, what makes us who we are today. And we open it all up and we submit it to him. Go in, Lord, and take it all. Everything that's not of you, everything that I've picked up that's not of you, I need you to strip it from me. I need you to pull it out of me and place in its place the nature and character of my Lord. When someone lashes out at me, when someone attacks me, I want to be able to respond to them in love, not because I've got to muster up every single bit of my being to respond to them in love, but because I see them. And my heart and my passion to see them saved supersedes all else. My heart and my passion for them to see the love of Christ supersedes all else. How do I get to be that person, Lord? How do I become that person, Lord? How do I become the person that learns how to walk in love? That person that learns how to be the John 17, union with him, union with our Creator, union with our fellow man, brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm going to read Psalms 91, and I'm going to add some things in there. I taught on Psalms 91 with our PCL, Joel's Army, a couple of years back. And the reason why I want to do this right now is because I do sense that there's some fear out there over the coronavirus. I also sense that there's concern over what's going on in Africa and in some places in India with the locusts. I want you to know that struggles and trials that come our way, that come across the earth, we are not exempt from them. I know we often think that we are. If we look at Moses and the Israelites, when they came out of Egypt, you know, they experienced the first three plagues. They experienced them. But by the time we get to the fourth plague, the Lord says, okay, I'm going to separate my people from the Egyptians. And only the Egyptians experienced the plagues from then on out. Only the Egyptians suffered the boils. Only the Egyptians suffered the many plagues, the many sicknesses, and as we know, the loss of their firstborn. We will not be exempt from everything that's coming. But if we are willing to separate ourselves unto God, we will be protected. And if we are willing to be used by God, and if we are willing to submit all that we are to Him, if we are willing to be a vessel of light, if we are willing to do this, we can be a part of releasing His presence in a time of crisis. We can be a part of the manifestation of the sons of God. We can be a part of bringing healing to the earth. We can be a part of God's divine provision. When we were praying about the locusts, I was typing it up in our prayer points. We were praying about it, and the Lord told me, we need to pray for divine provision because we are in just such a time that man can't get there in time. And if we will pray for provision, pray that God will bring forth an unction on the people of God in these regions to pray in faith for God's provision, He will do it. He will do this. He will do this. If He could feed thousands with a handful of fish and bread, why won't He feed thousands of children who have no other access to food? Why would He not do that? Imagine the glory that God will receive. He wants us to lift up our faith to receive of Him His promises. He wants us to lift up our faith to receive His promises. Lord, my heart is heavy. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Why? Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Okay, so we've talked about pestilence, we've talked about plague, We've talked about devastation. We've talked about war. Every one of these issues are found in this passage of Scripture in Psalms 91. How do we stay under the protection of the Almighty? How do we stay within the shield and the buckler? The shield and buckler, that was when Paul talks about the armor of God. That is very much the same thing as the armor of God. The shield that Paul talks about in Ephesians 6, 10 through 17 is a shield, and it's a piece of armor that actually a man would be able to tuck himself behind. And I don't mean being down, crouched down low. I mean he would only have to bend his knees slightly. This shield would have curved around his body and protected him from any arrows that fly. This shield was curved around his body, and he would have, it would have a strap that would take it around his body. And it would be buckled on, and this thing would protect him from an onslaught of arrows. It was made with very, very thick, very durable metal, and it was fashioned and created for the soldier. His truth. What is his truth? His word. If we know his word, and I go back to what I saw when I was praying, if we know his word and we have it hidden in our hearts, if we have allowed him to open up our hearts and to deposit his word and to cause it to become real to us, what happens? It becomes our protection. Do you know there's power in your words? Do you know there is power in your words? Do you believe when you pray, you move mountains? I'm not talking about Mount Rushmore here. I'm talking about the mountains in the lives of your family, of your friends, of your city, of your state, and of your nation. Let me tell you, in California, we are on the verge of flipping 9 seats to Republican. That's huge. That's a mountain, my friends. That's a mountain. The impact of that is a mountain. Why? Because we came together and we prayed. We came together and we prayed. Do you believe if you hide God's word in your heart and you speak it forth in accordance with the preferred will of God, as I talked about 2 weeks ago, you will in fact move a mountain? Do you believe that if you say no plague, no pestilence will come nigh your dwelling, it will in fact not come near your dwelling? Do you believe that if you put angels on your property, if you delegate them to the four corners of your property will be protected? I've been in my neighborhood for 20 years. 20 years I've been in this neighborhood. We've got a high school and we've got a junior high within a mile of my school, of my home. And we have some little ornery high schoolers and junior highers, I'm sure, that just love to rummage through the cars. We've had people have that have been vandalized. We've had people have their cars broken into. Day after day after day. And I have only ever had one incident on my property. And do you know why? Because I didn't obey. I was getting out of my truck one day, and the Lord said, take in your garage door opener. And I thought, that's a really strange, that can't be me. I mean, that can't be the Lord. That's just got to be me. I mean, my hands are full. So I went in the house. I get up early for prayer. I go to let my dogs out, and my garage door is open. Someone had opened up my truck, got my garage door opener,
and open my garage.
They only took one thing, and it was a broken down bike. I have really great tools. Not a single thing was touched but a broken bike. And the garage door opened, I was left in my yard. And immediately I repented because I knew it was my lack of obedience that opened the door. 20 years I've been protected. 20 years I've been protected. And when the still small voice spoke to me and I didn't heed it, I opened myself up. Psalms 91. When we say to pray Psalms 91 over you and your families, it's not just to protect you from harm, from illness, from war. It's to protect you. But it requires something. It requires obedience to God. The last time I talked about what took place in the garden, when Adam and Eve fell. And next week I'm going to share a lot more on that. The Lord's been speaking to me and I want to be able to present that to you next week. When they stepped out of God's will, they had to leave the garden because sin separates us from God. This passage of Scripture is dependent upon our obedience. If we want the absolute obedience, the absolute protection of our Lord, we have to walk in obedience to Him. When we step out of His will, when we step away from the still small voice, we lose the covering and the protection that He has for us. Why is that? Because sin separates us from God. Sin separates us from God. The further we get from Him, the harder it is to hear His voice. When I taught on this passage, Psalms 91, with our Jules Army people, I'd had a vision, actually a literal experience. It wasn't just a vision. It was an experience where I was standing in my room where I often am when I'm teaching, and I was standing next to the Lord and His arm, but it was a wing, and it was over top of me, and I felt His warmth against me. I felt His warmth. Under His wing, we will trust. I felt His warmth next to me. When I leaned over toward the right, I literally felt the temperature drop on my left shoulder. I was leaning against Him with my left shoulder. As I leaned to the right, I felt the temperature drop on my arm because that slight, and it was only a leaning, it wasn't a stepping away, it was a leaning. That little bit of separation brought in the icy cold of temptation. It brought in the icy cold that sin brings. It separates us from God. I don't think we realize how much it separates us from God. We think, well, it's not overt sin. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not fornication. It's disobedience to our God, our Creator, Jehovah, our Provider. It's disobedience to the One who went to the cross for us. It's disobedience to the One who endured temptations and sinned not, leaving us an example, a pattern with which to follow. We're not two-year-olds. I have a grandson. He's 2 years old. You tell him no, and he runs the other way. You have to go get him and you bring him back and you say yes. You tell him no, he runs the other way. You tell him don't touch that, he grabs it and he runs off. He's a bit of a handful. Sin separates us from God. We're not two-year-olds that can get away with running away and he's going to grab us and pull us back. We're not at that place anymore. We're supposed to be mature believers in him. We're supposed to have been pressing in, pressing in, pressing in, pressing in, and ready for the season in which we live so that we ourselves can be examples. What did Paul say? I'm an example. Use me as your example. I'm right in front of you. Use me as your example. I follow him. You follow me. He gave all glory, all honor to Christ, but he said, if you need an example to look at, follow me. Because my gospel is his gospel. We're no longer in the place where he should have to grab us and bring us back to the safety of being within the shield and buckler. We are supposed to be here with our hearts open and his word pouring in, filling us up, pouring through our veins with every beat of our heart, his word coursing through our veins. Refining us, transforming us, so that we are vessels of light. So when we disobey and that icy chill hits our shoulder, the instant it happens, we need to lean back into him and repent. Why? Because he died for us. Because he loved us enough to do that. Can we not love him enough to obey him? Can we not be quick to repent? We want to be in the shadow of the Almighty. Under his wing, his truth, his word. Our shield and our buckler, guarding us and protecting us, guarding us and protecting us from the onslaught of the enemy. When we step out of his will, it opens us up, it makes us vulnerable. And if we're afraid, that opens the door to the enemy for attack. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and a sound mind. That scripture means something. It brings stability to us. It keeps the enemy from attacking. It keeps him at bay. That scripture is like a shield guarding you. Psalms 91, let's go back to verse 9. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Remember my property? Every day I ask the Lord to protect my property. And to keep us safe. You know, years ago, probably 20 years ago, I would go over to my mom's. You know, I'd go and pick up a few things at the store for her and take it into her. And it just didn't matter what time of day it was. She would just leave the door unlocked. It was just always unlocked. Mom, why are you leaving your door unlocked? Do you realize that's not safe? Oh, the Lord will protect me. That's what she always said. She just believed it. And her house never got broken into. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now, I want to take you over to Matthew chapter 4, because I want to talk to you about what happens in temptation and what happens when we overcome. I want to tell you how. So Matthew, I want to show you how when Jesus himself was tempted, how he responded. Matthew chapter 4. Now this is right after Jesus was baptized. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward anhungered. 40 days is a time of testing. We saw that take place with Moses and the Israelites. We saw that take place with Moses when he was sent out of Egypt for 40 years. 40 is a time of testing. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." And he answered him, but he answered him and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Now that's a quote from Deuteronomy 8:3. Okay. Satan, Jesus is led out into the wilderness. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Then he hungered. Okay, so Satan didn't come to him in the midst of the fasting. Satan came to him after his hunger returned. Satan came to him in a time when he was weak, when he was physically weak. He didn't wait until he was armed up, he was prayed up, he was geared up, and he was ready for battle. He came to him when he was weak. Satan doesn't come to us when we're feeling strong. Satan comes to us because he lurks in the darkness. He waits for us to lean away from the Lord for a second, and we feel that icy chill on our shoulder. That's when he comes in, and he seeks to bring the biggest wedge he can possibly find between us and our God. Satan comes in a moment of weakness. He said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered him and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Satan comes to him, and what does he do? He challenges his position and his authority. How many times does the enemy come at you and challenge your position? We'll think, well, Satan doesn't really come to me very often and challenge my position with God. Okay, well, how about when a coworker comes up and challenges your position? Maybe you're the supervisor. What's your response? What's your response when someone comes in and challenges you? Satan comes and challenges Jesus' position and his authority with God. Now, I want you to think about something. I think it's in Luke, and I should have looked this up. I apologize. In the book of Luke, I think it's in Luke, when they came to get Jesus and take him to be crucified, remember Peter pulls out his sword? He cuts off the soldier's ear, and Jesus stops. What does that scripture tell us? They flew back. Jesus, one word. With one word, he threw every soldier that came at him back. They went back. They flew back with a force. That's the power and the authority of Jesus. Jesus could have rebuked Satan right then. But he didn't. Jesus could have annihilated him right then, but he didn't. Because he was obedient to God, even unto death. He had a call and a commission when he walked this earth, and every single step was ordered by God. And he stayed close to the chest of the Father, that he would not be separated from him. He knew if he leaned to the right, that cold, icy chill would take place. I know he was God, but he was also man. He leaned into the strength of the Heavenly Father for every single thing he did. And he was obedient unto death. Paul said in Hebrews, he learned obedience through his suffering. Then the devil taketh him up unto a holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Jesus is in a moment of physical weakness. And I want to tell you two things that he has done already with his three temptations. He has released the word of the Lord. He has released the scriptures to Satan. He didn't challenge him. He didn't argue with them. He didn't do any of that. He released scripture to him. Why? Because the word of God was hidden in his heart. He was God. He was with God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God. He was the word. But as a man and he walked this earth, he studied the scriptures. He knew the scriptures. He knew the law. He knew the Torah forward and backward. He knew the prophets. He knew the history of his people. He knew every single step. He had studied it all growing up. The word of God was hidden in his heart. And when the enemy came at him and he hungered, in his moment of fleshly weakness, he released the word of God. So I go back to what I shared and what I saw as we prayed, as we started. We've got to hide God's word in our heart if we are going to be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. Thank you. John 18:6. They went backward when he spoke. Thank you, John. Again, the devil taketh him up to an exceedingly high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So Satan comes, and he tempts him in his weakness. He challenges his authority. He tries to get him to test God. But the moment he tries to worm in there and get Jesus to split his loyalty, Jesus rebukes him. How many times do we entertain that? Oh, no, I've never, ever done that. I've never chosen anything over God. When we sin, we do. When we give in to peer pressure, we do. We choose our friends over God. We choose our own pride over God. If we want to stay under the shadow of the Almighty, under His wing, trusting in the security and the safety, protected from the pestilence, protected from the onslaught of arrows, tucked behind the shield, we've got to mature into a place that peer pressure is no longer an issue. Obedience. Obedience unto God. Obedience unto death. Obedience. Obedience didn't always used to appeal to me. Obedience wasn't something that I craved. Obedience wasn't something that I thought was important when it came to God. I was young, I was immature. I was hurt, I was angry, I was rebellious. It was difficult to reconcile. Why would I obey a God that I cannot see? I believed in God. I really did. But I didn't understand the connection between my salvation and obedience. And I know that sounds really silly, but I didn't understand the connection between my salvation and my walk with God and obedience. You see, I didn't even understand the fullness of what I had been saved from. I knew that I wanted the Lord. I stayed after Sunday school to say the sinner's prayer because something in me was just empty. I needed Him. And so I stayed after. I asked my mom if I could stay after, and she said yes, and I stayed after, and I accepted the Lord in my heart. And then mom got saved, and we did ministry in town. I remember doing tent revivals. I remember praying for people, and they got healed. People got saved, all of that. But I still didn't grasp what I had been saved from. I still didn't grasp the reality of what I had been saved from when I said the sinner's prayer. And I got hurt, and I went into rebellion, and I had some rough teenage years, and my mom had some rough teenage years with me because I was hurt, and I was angry, and I was bitter, honestly. And I talked last time about forgiveness and how that really was the key, me forgiving, for me to really receive my own forgiveness. But as I finally made that turn, and as the enemy's temptations became less and less desirable, even though they were greater temptations, even though they were greater attacks even, the more I pressed into Him, the more I found true comfort and true peace and true love, honestly, in obedience. The more I understood His word, the more I allowed His word to be poured down into my heart and allowed His word to pump through my body, changing me, transforming me. The more I understood what I had been saved from. You see, heaven was made for the angels, and it's a pure, beautiful place without sin. There's no sin. There's no sorrow. Hell was not created for humans. Hell was created for Lucifer and his the third of the angels that he took with him. That's what hell was created for. But you see, sin is that which separates us from God. So when he says, thou shalt have no other gods before me, honor thy father and thy mother, worship God only. You know, I mean, really, the Ten Commandments can be wrapped up in love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those two commandments right there wrap up all of the commandments, all the law. It's not just about adultery or lying or murder or stealing. It's not just about whether or not you've kept the Sabbath holy or taken the Lord's name in vain. It's about your heart. And it's about every sin that separates us from God, every sin that causes us to lean over and we feel the chill of the air on our shoulder. That chill is sin. That's separation from God. And so sin by its very nature separating us from God, if we were to go into heaven as a being full of sin, unrepentant, it would burn us. Our being could not tolerate it. It would cause us at the cellular level, so to speak, to ache and to cry out. Because his holiness would shine on our sin. His holiness would be like a magnifying glass and the sun penetrating through it, zeroing in on our sin, and it would burn us. Sin separates us from God. And so were it not for the blood of Christ that enables us to obtain salvation and to enter heaven's gates, we could never tolerate it. God would, not one would perish. That's God's wish. And he has but one request, obedience. It's not something we can do on our own. It's something that comes through the blood of Christ and through the process of our salvation, where we work out your salvation with fear and trembling, as Paul says. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. What does that mean? To allow yourselves to be exposed to the light of the Father, where he can expose our sin, the things that separate us from him, so that we can lay those things at his feet and we can finally take another step closer to him, experiencing him with his word coming down in our heart and circulating through our bloodstream, transforming us, transforming us, transforming us, so that we can be a vessel of light. We can be a person who brings healing, a person who brings restoration to the very land that we walk on, who brings life and love and healing to the people that we speak with, who even as we bring correction and as we release truth into their lives that might be difficult for them to receive, it's done and it's bathed in such love. The offense doesn't have time to rise because the love has just melted it all. We want his protection. We want his closeness. And he just wants our obedience so that he can give us that closeness. Can we see the connection? He wants obedience so that he can provide us the protection. He wanted obedience from me, and I left my garage door opener in the truck, and what happened? My truck got broken into, and they opened my garage and stole a broken down bike. The Lord said, I'm going to have to teach you this because I asked you to obey me. But he was so merciful. He was so merciful. They could have gotten into my house from there. He was so merciful. I'll never forget that lesson. Obedience to the still small voice. How do we hear it? We lean into Him so that under His wing we can trust. He is preparing His sons and daughters to rise up and take their place in the earth. I've told you that a shaking is upon us, and my friends, we've got to let the shaking be here because it's shaking everything that is not of Him. And when it breaks loose, when everything that is not of Him falls away, we will be an unshakable force in the earth. And when you say no, the enemy will fly back. Why? Because you have allowed Him to do the work in you that His authority can flow through you. And the demons will tremble at the sound of your voice because you will have the authority granted that only can be granted by God because of His Son and your obedience. You see, when I turned away from the Lord, I didn't understand what I had been saved from. But today, I most certainly do. It's a weakness in the salvation message, you know, in the churches. But I believe God is going to change that pretty quick. We need to know you're a liar, you're a sinner, you're a thief, you're an adulterer, and the only thing that can save you is Jesus. You can't work your way into heaven, but through His blood you can gain entrance. Through your repentance and your obedience. Why would we want to repeat the things He had to save us from? Why would we want to do that? He's here and He's got hearts open and He's pouring His word into you now. Receive of it, my friends. Allow the truth of His word and the need for obedience in your life if you're going to stay under the shelter of the Almighty penetrate you from deep within. Transform you. Flow through your body with every heartbeat. The need and the desire and the ache to obey Him. You think it's rough out there now? Wait a couple years. We're going to need to hear the still small voice. In the midst of an auditorium, we're going to need our ear to be tuned to His voice, and the only way is to stay tucked up against Him under the shadow of the Almighty, under His wing. Or your safety and your security is assured. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for Your word, Lord. I thank You for the transformative power of Your word. I thank You that You were merciful and You gave us Your word so that we could learn obedience, so that we could read in Hebrews 5:8, Lord God, that even You, Lord Jesus, learned obedience through the things which You suffered. Why would we think that we would be any different? Why would we think it would be different for us? Let us not build up resentment in the things that we suffer, but Lord God, let us embrace You in the midst of it all. Let us submit ourselves to You. Let us submit our hearts to You, our minds to You. Let us submit all that we are to You. To be vessels, Lord God, of light, vessels usable by You. We are intercessors. We are warriors. We are prophets. We are teachers. We are evangelists. We are pastors. We are servants. We are all these things, but most and most importantly, we are vessels to be used by you to release the kingdom of heaven in the earth in whatever fashion you deem fit. Let us stay under your covering. Let us step into the fullness of what obedience means. Help us to understand obedience. Help us our ears to be tuned to your voice, that we can enter into a place of obedience unlike anything else we've seen before, Lord God. A knowing and an understanding, a recognizing of your voice, of the strength and the authority that is in your voice, that we might not falter, that if the enemy comes to tempt us, we can speak and not argue, but speak the word and move on. Father God, I want to pray for the children of our nation. I want to pray, Lord God, for not just our nation, but the children of the earth, for the Samuel generation, Lord God, for they are called to walk in this in an unprecedented way that we've seen in our earth, Lord God, in our time. Father God, they are called to walk in this. As the enemy has sought to destroy them through human trafficking, through abortion, through the educational system, Lord God, I pray for a protection and preservation of our youth, that they would come into the knowledge of who you are. Father God, through divine appointments, divine appearances, through your word, Lord God, that our children would rise up and take their place. That our children would be used to call down manna from heaven to feed their friends in Africa. That our children would be used to call down meat from heaven to be used, Lord God, in places where they're starving today. Where our children would be used to lay hands on the sick and that pestilence would flee. I thank you, Father God, that you are bringing forth and you are releasing your children in this hour. I thank you, Father God, for the new breed of believers that you're releasing. I thank you, Lord God, that you're igniting the new breed of believers. And even now, their spirits are stirring as they're hearing our prayer, as we stand together, shoulder to shoulder, arm in arm, marching on in the kingdom of heaven, Lord God. Their spirits are stirring, understanding. They have a deeper part, a far more impactful peace in this time and history. And that it's time that they grab hold of that call and they run with it. I thank you, Father God. I see children. I see teens. I see kids in their 20s and in their 30s, Lord God, and they are awakening to the call, stepping into the mantles that we've spoken about over the last several months, Lord God, the Ezras, the Nehemiahs, Lord God, the Samuels, the Josephs, the Joshuas. I thank you, Father God, that you are igniting your children. You're igniting the youth. And Father God, for the parents and the grandparents and the aunts and the uncles that are praying on their behalf, give them wisdom and guidance and knowledge and understanding. Give them discernment, Lord God. Help them to know how to pray and give them the courage to speak the truth in love, that they might be a part of shaping and molding this generation that you're raising up. I thank you, Father God. I thank you for teaching us obedience. I thank you that you're protecting us from the crisis. I thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Father, for the church in Asia, Lord God. You touched and you healed them from this virus. And it was so miraculous, Lord God. I thank you for that. Ignite our faith all over the world to pray for healing, divine healing, And let that be a testimony of what happens when the power of the living God comes forth and we ignite and link our faith with you. I thank you, Father God. I thank you. I thank you. Yes, Lord. Hide, hide, hide your word in our hearts. In your precious name, amen.